It is the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. We're going to the Tapman's Towing phone line to be joined by Luke Altmaier on the Tapman's Towing phone line. This segment brought to you by Max Twin City Recycling. It's also brought to you by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com. And Carpenters Local 243 has been joining us all season long. We're very appreciative of the time, the candor, and the insight. And we got to wrap things up as we conclude this season and look forward to next season as well. Luke Altmaier joining us now on the Tapman's Towing phone line. How you doing, Luke? Thanks for joining us as always.
Doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
As far as Thanksgiving goes, you know, Luke Goody, we talked to him last week. He was bragging about the ducks you guys took down. Did you serve up any duck as far as a side dish or maybe the main substitute for turkey? Did you let anybody around the football facility try your duck that you guys shot down?
Yeah, I mean, we had a good time. We actually went the other day too and had a great time. Killed a lot of ducks and you know, I invited one of my teammates with me and we had a wrestler go with us and
sweet.
Definitely used some of the duck meat to make a little dinner one of these nights, and it was fantastic. And luckily, I learned some recipes and stuff from some people back home who taught me really how to hunt and stuff. So had a great time, and it didn't want to scare anybody with, you know, bringing some duck meat up to the football facility, but didn't let really anybody try it. But maybe I should have.
Yeah, Luke Goody was bragging about his recipe and said that he even had some bacon wrapped duck and took it up for a few teammates. But any Southern flair that you got in terms of the cooking up a duck down in Mississippi?
Yeah, I think, well, the bacon wrap is a staple for sure. You definitely fillet the breast and, you know, kind of, you know, what I like to do is kind of butterfly the breast, kind of open it in half and get some of the jalapeno cream cheese and you know, put in between it and close it back up, wrap it in bacon, and there's a couple seasonings that I like to use that really not a lot of people do, but yeah, I mean, it's delicious if you can do it right, and luckily I've been around a lot of people who've taught me how to do it, and it's definitely something I like to eat.
Man, we should have been talking about this all year. That sounds really good. What unfortunately didn't sound great to a lot of people, the loss to Northwestern 45-43 in the season finale, just missing a bowl game, unfortunately. What did you think of that one as that one's had a couple of days to marinate and now that the season's over? Was it kind of the lasting impressions of that game and just the season as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, obviously, you know, coming off that loss against Northwestern, a game that we were pretty confident in, you know, going into thinking that we would, you know, come out with a W and, you know, have a chance to go bowling, but, you know, obviously it didn't go that way and it's super disappointing and, you know, just super disappointing for me, you know, with, you know, kind of my perspective of the whole thing, not being able to affect the game, but, you know, understand what the situation was and, you know, that obviously doesn't make it any easier for me, but, yeah, just an up and down season, you know, thinking about the whole deal. Had moments where, you know, things were really good. Had some moments where things were really bad, obviously. And, you know, I think the whole thing is just a learning experience for next season moving forward and just will spring me into a whole new perspective coming up into this off season and into the season. You know, another year of comfortability with, you know, what I'm doing and the people I'm around. And I'm so confident in, you know, coming in. You know, coming up and next year to really affect in the game in a new way and being my best self.
Luke, how hard was that? I know it was something out of your control, both in terms of the injury itself and then the decision wasn't yours to make in terms of going back out there or not for the final two games. You needed one win, as you know, to get to a bowl. And obviously, if you would have won both of them, 7-5. But how tough was that for you to just kind of – wrestle with and just accept the reality of not being able to go out there and watch it play out as it did?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously extremely difficult, you know, as you would think. You know, I think all I wanted to do throughout the whole year was just go compete and fight with my brothers who I'd worked hard with throughout the off season and be there for them, be the leader, be in that position for them, and ultimately just wanting to play because that's what I love to do. And not being able to do that for the last three, you know, I obviously understand, like I said, you know, the situation and what occurred, and I completely understand it. And obviously I can't control it. But, you know, like I said, it doesn't make it any easier, you know, kind of, you know, handling it. And, you know, with my perspective, it was difficult. It was, because, like I said, you know, I just wanted to compete, you know, and play alongside my teammates who I love, and, you know, fight, scratch and claw for, you know, each and everything we have. And it sucked. I couldn't do that. And it really did.
Luke, how do you kind of assess this season, both for you individually, also as an offense? Obviously, it was your first season as a full-time starter. Obviously, it didn't end the way that you wanted it to, but it felt like before you got hurt, you guys were still finding your rhythm and you were playing some of your best football. What do you think the future holds both for you and for this Illinois offense with you under center?
Yeah, I think the future is very bright. You know, I think the offense in general finished off, you know, at an upward trend. I really do. And, you know, I was kind of finding myself a little bit and finding, you know, the best way I could affect the game. And, you know, I was figuring that out. And the whole process was an extreme learning process and figuring out, you know, kind of how to play football again. You know, really the last time I played consistently was in high school. And getting back into that groove was, you know, kind of takes a minute, I guess you would say. And, you know, I think I learned so much from obviously the good, but also learned more from, you know, the bad moments as well. And I know, you know, moving forward and, you know, even watching John play and how he affected the game and how he, you know, helped our offense, I'll be able to help us even more in so many different ways. And I'm really confident in that. And I'm just looking forward to working hard coming up and taking all my experiences and all my learning, you know, into this off season and how I can be better.
Is there any specific focus for you heading into the off season or anything particular you feel like you can really improve on?
Yeah, there's some initial thoughts, I guess, but, you know, I think you really got to kind of, it takes a little bit to kind of reflect and even kind of watch back on your games and kind of develop the structured plan of, you know, some things that you think you can improve on. Obviously, you always want to improve in every area, but there's certain areas that you definitely need to improve on, and so that you can just be more efficient, be better in all areas. And, you know, I think, just being more comfortable with, you know, what I'm doing and just playing football will be significant moving forward, and, you know, taking all these experiences and using them for next year will be huge. But there's so many things that, you know, I will work on this off season, and so many different things, whether it's, you know, my mechanics with, you know, my throwing or kind of my pocket presence, whatever it may be. You know, I'm always learning and watching from other guys, seeing how I can take from them, and learning from my own game too. And I feel like I could write a book about, you know, different things I could improve on.
Luke, as you've experienced it now, how did it stack up that first full season as a starting quarterback versus maybe what you expected? Was there anything that being in it was different than what you would have anticipated, both good and bad?
Yeah, I think I think that's a great question. You know, I knew it'd be a lot of fun. You know, I really did. And just playing football again and be really exhilarating. And it was. Even in the low moments and the good moments, there was a lot of moments where I was just you know, really enjoying the game. And but from another standpoint, you know, kind of having expectations from the outside world of you know, really, really shaking things up in the Big Ten West and having those expectations within the team, and, you know, my expectations of being the kind of leader of that whole operation. You know, you really believe in that. You really do. And you know, it's disappointing that it didn't shake out the way it did, like the way we expected, the way I expected it. But, you know, I know it'll all, you know, work out for the good. I really do, with, you know, me just growing, me being better, and me being in that driver's seat for our team, and me being that leader.
We had a text from Big Def on the U of I Atlanta League text line. He asked, Luke, it looked like there was more and more RPO that got implemented down the stretch of this season. Is that something you're happy to see after what you went through at Ole Miss, which that was geared towards? So I guess two-part question, did you see more RPO? And if so, what do you think of that as something that seems that you're familiar with?
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what I've known throughout my college career, being at Ole Miss for 2 years. That's what they kind of thrive on, and you know, I learned so much from those 2 years about the RPO game in general, and you know, how to see defenses and how you can attack defenses through the RPO game. And you know, I got really comfortable doing that through 2 years, and one of the reasons I chose to come here was because of the familiarity and what we do here at Illinois that is really good, and you know, I'm really used to. And I think using RPOs in general are super great, and they can affect defenses and affect the game in so many different ways. And like I said, I'm really comfortable with that, and looking forward to obviously the season just ended, but looking forward to next year of really being, you know, even more comfortable with it, and you know, attacking defenses all over the place with it and taking more advantage of our opportunities and in that fashion.
A few more minutes with Luke Altmaier on the Tappan's Towing phone line. We did have Matt on the U of I Atlanta Link text line said, please tell him as a Atlanta fan, really proud of how he played this year and look forward to more years of that. Luke, I wanted to ask you about Isaiah Williams. Obviously, he's going to have a decision to make regarding the NFL, and someone that put up monster numbers, goes over 1,000 yards, leads the Big Ten in receptions. What do you make of – I know you're not making the decision for him, but just the position he's put himself in and how big that decision will be for you guys regarding what he decides to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think first off, I just want to say how thankful I am for him and, you know, for his leadership and, you know, obviously who he was as a player, but, you know, as a person as well, he was such a leader for not only the offense, but for the whole team. And, you know, when he spoke, everybody kind of, you know, stopped and, you know, they heard and listened to what he had to say. And, you know, that goes a long way. So really thankful for how he affected me and how his leadership will, you know, play into, you know, kind of how I lead in the future and how I'll take things from how he did things and I'll grow from that. But he'll make his decision the way he sees it going, and, you know, regardless of what he does, and he'll be successful, even beyond his years of football. I mean, he's a great, great individual, with a great head on his shoulders and a very spiritual guy who has shown me a lot about himself, and you know, is very open about it. Just very unique, and you know, he's obviously an incredible football player and made so many plays on the field for us this year. And you know, like I said, regardless of what he does, he'll be successful. Whether it's him going to the league or you know, him coming back for another year, and obviously it'd be pretty cool to see him come back. But I have no control over that decision, obviously. But like I said, whatever he does, I'm so happy for him, and such a great player and such a great individual.
Luke, another guy that you've spoken very highly of in the past, Casey Washington, who had a monster performance on Saturday against Northwestern. How cool was it, obviously, from the sideline for you to see him end his career? Obviously, he said he wished that it would have ended in a win, but how cool was it for you to see him in his last game, 218 yards, 3 touchdowns, put up that type of performance?
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to somebody about it today of how awesome that was to see him have that performance. I think a performance that's been long overdue, and I think for the longest time, you know, our team is just, they've realized how incredible and how special he is as a player. You know, sometimes the ball just doesn't find you. But obviously the ball did find him, and he took advantage of it. And, you know, his last game in Memorial, and man, I was so fired up for him and as well as the whole team. And, like I said, with Isaiah, Casey's been an incredible vocal leader for our group, and, a guy that's fearless and, a guy that I'll take things from and implement into my own life and into my own game. And, you know, he'll be very successful in, you know, his future, and whether that's with ball or, you know, way after ball, he'll be a great father one day. He's a great teammate, a great friend for me, and I'm so thankful for him.
Luke, obviously you guys will be getting back to work before too long with the workout program and everything, but in the meantime, what are you looking forward to now in the next month or so? And you'll have finals to prepare for before too long as well, but will you look forward to watching maybe some of these conference championship games, bowl games, NFL, or do you maybe take a step away from football and just try to refresh your mind? How are you going to handle that here in the coming weeks?
Yeah, I guess there's, obviously you want to be playing, but, you know, the chips didn't fall where the chips fell where they fell. And it is what it is. But, you know, I think the silver lining in it all is, you know, I'll be able to kind of do things differently for a little bit and, you know, have a lot of time on my hands to develop myself in other areas of my life, you know, with my family and, you know, with going home and doing different things and things like that. But yeah, I'll be super tuned in to obviously the Big Ten championship game and how that shakes out. But you know, all over college football, so many great games going on. You know, I've always watched the SEC championship game, and you know, obviously watch it, you know, here coming up. But just enjoy watching football, the NFL too. I mean, I enjoy watching so many different players. And especially Patrick Mahomes, I don't know why, but he has just changed the game significantly with his arm and the way he plays the game. So enjoy watching certain players, but, you know, definitely tuned in to this, how college football shakes out and how the college football playoff committee really chooses and picks who they want in that Final Four. That'll be really cool to see.
Well, hey, you got Justin Fields on tonight, too. As a Bears fan, I'm sure Bears must see TV on Monday Night Football, right? Is that the buzz?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm just kidding, of course. But Luke, this has been awesome. I really appreciate it. As I've said, and I mean it, I really respect what you answering the call every week when they've been fun to have after wins, when they've been tough to have after tough games, or what you've gone through the last couple of weeks. You've handled it awesome, and we really respect that. And obviously, we have a number of texts every week talking about how excited they are about your future and how much they just respect who you are. So, Luke, we're really glad to make this partnership and do this on a weekly basis. Wish you the happy holidays going forward. Enjoy your time with your family. Enjoy the off season, and we'll definitely look forward to catching up down the road.
I really appreciate it. It's been a blast all year. I'm so thankful for you guys and the way you've been so good to me. And you know, hopefully, I can keep on doing this in the near future. And happy holidays to y'all. And again, just thank you. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Luke Altmaier on the Tapman Towing. Luke Altmaier on the Tapman Towing phone line there. This segment brought to you by Max Twin City Recycling, Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com. And by Carpenters Local 243. Great stuff with Luke Altmaier. We do, and I mean that very sincerely, appreciate him. It could have been very easy for him to say, hey, this week doesn't work for me. Hey, I got something came up. He was there every Monday at 4 o'clock to answer tough questions, talk about games that he probably didn't want to talk about. And then obviously we had some fun as well. A 217 said, has Luke found any good sweet tea yet? We didn't give him that list. We were supposed to investigate. Maybe that's our off-season task when he gets on with us, maybe for spring football or something. We can hit him with that. But definitely gained a lot of respect for him. You never know what you're going to get with a transfer coming in and what they're really going to be about. But I think Luke, number one, is a good football player who got better through the year. Number two, he seems like a great dude.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of the answers he gave and the way he approached the whole situation. I mean, it sucked for him, I'm sure, to be a guy that he thought he was going to start the whole season. It felt like he was really starting to get comfortable in the offense, goes down with an injury, John Paddock comes in, and, I mean, it took his job for the last three games. And it wasn't his doing at all. He didn't do anything to lose the job, but that's got to be a really tough situation. But just based on some of the things that he said all the right things, and it felt genuine that he truly approached it in such a professional way. And I think he is going to be a really good quarterback for this program. I truly think the biggest piece of optimism that I have moving forward for Illinois football, even coming off this 5-7 year, is we don't have to question who's going to be playing quarterback for them the next 2 years. That's something that Illinois has not been able to say very often here recently. But I'm really excited for what the future holds for Luke, and I'm encouraged, even though part of it was John Paddock obviously coming in there. The offense ended the year pretty strong, and Luke was a part of that before he got hurt, and I think could be a strength of this team next year if he takes another step forward.
Yeah, post-Penn State, what was it, 10 touchdowns, 3 picks?
Yep.
It's a pretty good stretch for him, obviously. And we've seen here recently, that's a great point in terms of just the anxiety around trying to go in the portal again, if you were to try to find another quarterback and you know, teach him the system, integrate him and everything. But we haven't really been accustomed to in a little bit of a while as far as a quarterback that is your guy for a handful of years that you can develop. I feel like Brandon Peters, yeah, he was here a couple of years, but he kind of was who he was at that point. He was an older guy who just – don't really think that he necessarily maybe got better here at Illinois. Tommy DeVito was a really nice one-year shot in the arm that was huge, and obviously doing some things on Sundays now, as crazy as that is. But yeah,
he's genuinely playing well for the Giants crazy? On a team that has a disastrous offensive line and no weapons. I know the outputs they're putting up offensively aren't jumping off the page, but like 2 weeks ago, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 200 and something yards.
Has he already thrown for as many touchdowns as Bryce Young? Is that what I saw? Or is somebody
he has
else?
More wins than Bryce Young as a starting quarterback.
Let's keep it that way. Got that Bears pick.
I think his numbers are rivaling the numbers that Daniel Jones is putting up before he got hurt.
That's what it was. Yeah, and it's amazing that he hasn't had his head taken off by that offensive line that's there in New York. So happy for Tommy DeVito and what he's doing. Happy to be joined all season long by Luke Altmyer. Real quick before we catch a break, Kyle, did you think in the second half that Luke should have gotten a chance in that game on Saturday?
I the thought never totally crossed my mind, to be honest with you. I didn't really think that John was playing all that poorly. I thought he was kind of the furthest of the problems. Really, it was just defensively to not be able to stop Northwestern. And really, the back-breaking end-of-half drive to me. Like, going into halftime, my thought was that is probably the drive that's going to lose you this game. My thought wasn't, well, we need to make a quarterback change. The offense wasn't great, like Jay said, in the first half, but defensively was the big issue in that game. Obviously, the back-to-back special teams turnovers are what ultimately lost it for you. But I didn't think John played all that poorly. He wasn't great. The 2 picks, neither were great throws, but I didn't think either were both hit receivers in the hands. One of them got tipped in the air. Mm-hmm. I thought he was fine, and I know a lot of the yardage came on run after catch and Casey Washington making plays, but I thought he made some good throws.
I don't know how Northwestern gave that up right at the end.
I had no clue either. That was
great.
That was a great play call by Barry Lunny, too, to get him in space there in the middle of the field. But I didn't think John was that bad. I didn't really think about that. I suppose it was an option that they could have gone to, but I think quarterback play was far down on the list of reasons you lost that one.
That's fair. I had a brief thought of maybe on that last drive. That would have been unfair to ask him to do that. I'm sure he would have been willing, but it would be tough, and which speaks to why there became so much confidence in John Paddock for going in cold against Minnesota doing that and then putting up the crazy numbers that he did against Indiana. But Illinois football losing to Northwestern, finishing the season in disappointing fashion at 5-7. Let's tie a bow on that one. A lot of people, I'm sure, wanting to talk basketball. We just got through Feast Week. Illinois didn't go anywhere exciting. They hunkered down at home. They played Western.
Could we get a 30-minute breakdown on Illinois, Western Illinois, or is that not in the cards today?
I don't know if we can go a full 30, but we can hit on what we saw in that game, hit on some thoughts on Coleman Hawkins, Nico Moretti that are still out. Illinois preparing for the Big Ten opener. That sounds really crazy, but it's coming up here on Saturday. And other thoughts on the rest of the Big Ten that is in terms of what they showed over Feast Week and where we are right now. So Kyle and I love talking hoops. Let's do that next. This is The Drive.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison Champaign, way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up, and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
Are you one of those guys out there tinting windows day in and day out, all different shades of black, and ready to put a little color in your life? Come work for us. At Aftershock, we're looking for a guy with experience in wrapping, whether it be window tinting, vinyl wrapping, anything of that sort, or somebody with just ambition that wants to show up to work and be proud of what they do. You know those wraps with Troy Lands on the back waving at you? That's our work. Call us, 833-DECAL-IT, or email office@aftershockdd.com. We want you.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
If you're tired of the same old turkey or ham meal for the holidays, try something unique and delicious. Try locally grown yak roasts or steaks for the family. It'll be a meal they'll remember and create new family memories. The yak meat is 97% fat-free and healthy. One of their roasts, slow-cooked in the crock pot, will be easy and fill your home with delicious aromas. Their steaks are easy to grill and be the best-tasting and healthiest red meat you'll ever eat. Visit them online, SavannahRidgeFarm.com. Put your order in for pickup at their farm or they'll deliver to your home. That's SavannahRidgeFarm.com.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circus Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor, and I'm the owner of Circus Sports. We're excited that the Circus Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com.
If you or somebody you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, we have it when you need it. Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment, all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now, put it in the garage for now, put it in the garage for now, put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk, residential or commercial. Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampaign.com. Two Men and a Truck.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Ata Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Marcus wants to talk about Sonny Gray.
I do want to get your thoughts
on
that.
Let's do that.
I mean,
we got one. We got one. Emphasizing one.
You're not buying in Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson?
I'm not. No, and I know that was sarcasm, Kyle. Thank you for it. 1-year deals for guys that are like 36 or 37. Lynn with an ERA of like 6 last year. Kyle Gibson had a nice win-loss in Baltimore, but 4.75 ERA. Lynn gave up the most homers in the league. Gibson the most hits in the league, I think. Is that right? Michaelis was
close.
One of the...
Michaelis, I think, actually was the
maybe
most,
was the
but
hits.
It's also because he pitched the most innings.
Yeah. Anyways, but the Cardinals did get... who's going... the guy who's, at least as far as we know right now, going to be their ace. 3 years, what was it, $75 million? Mm-hmm. He was spectacular last year. Second in the Cy Young... sub 3 ERA, really, really good. He is a little bit older, a little bit more wear and tear, had some injury issues throughout his career, but he's been more healthy lately. Obviously, since he was a Yankee in 2018, that didn't work out. Then goes to Minnesota the last 2 years and pitches well. So I'm very happy with Sonny Gray. I'm not happy with Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, at least the idea that we're done, because it was framed as you have Mats and Michaelis coming back. You need three starters. If those are your three starters, it's not good enough. It really is not. And you can talk about the division. We'll see. I think the Cubs are going to obviously be aggressive, and we'll see who they end up with. But to compete in the postseason, that rotation's not nearly good enough, in my opinion, unless you're going to have some kind of – you're going to turn Lance Lynn and Gibson into – like Waino for a few years before the wheels completely fall off. The problem is I think they've already fallen off for Lynn and are showing very much they're there, getting there for Kyle Gibson. So I would love to convince myself that there's still going to be a player for Yoshi Yamamoto or a trade for like a Dylan Cease or a Shane Bieber. I know Tyler Glasnow has been thrown out there. If they're not, then I think the Cardinals are falling short in that sense, but I'm happy about the news today.
I feel like they're not done. Am I just
it shouldn't
that,
be? I mean,
they. I feel like you got to the goal for the Cardinals, especially with the lineup they still have. You, Sonny Gray, and another high end,
yes,
top of the rotation guy, and then mix some depth in there so that you're not starting Matthew Liberatore next year. Which is what Gibson and Lynn are like.
Yeah,
that
right.
That makes sense to me. If you're going into next year with Miles Michaelis as your number two, then that, as a Cubs fan, I'm sorry to say, I'm not too scared.
You guys will kill us, I feel like, if that's going to be the case, because you can match us, Justin Steele versus.
I do think the Cubs
Sonny
need
Gray.
A pitcher. They need a pitcher. I know.
Are you guys bringing Stroman back?
No.
Oh boy.
No. They need a starter as well.
Why not bring Stroman back?
I don't think
ruffle feathers or too much asking price or what?
I mean, he opted out of his deal. It's interesting to see coming off how he really struggled and got hurt in the second he's going to command. I also think that throughout his career, he hasn't meshed well. He hasn't been like the most well-liked guy by
front offices and people inside organizations. And I feel like there's been some rumblings that that was the case with the Cubs as well. So I can confidently say he won't be member of their rotation next year. But with that being said, they need it. I think the Cubs, the big focus is on, oh, what bat are they going to add? Are they going to sign Ohtani, who can't pitch next year? Obviously, if you sign him, then anything else they do, I'm fine with. If you sign Ohtani, who, I mean, you still need to do some things, but I it's a success.
You'll be fine. But why can I think of his name?
Assuming I think he's – I still am so skeptical that the Cubs are actually going to come out of this offseason with Shohei Ohtani. They need a pitcher as well. I think that's been a little overlooked on the Cubs side of things.
If the Cubs sign Shohei Ohtani, you'd be okay with – why am I not thinking of his name? Who's the guy from the White Sox that you despised?
Madrigal.
You'd be okay with the Cubs having Madrigal back on the team? Would you be excited
anyway,
about Ohtani that you'd be good with Madrigal? Another 300 plate appearances? Where is – I don't even know where he's at right now. I'm just trying to get a reference of this.
No, I think – I mean, if you sign Ohtani, you can't just sign Ohtani and be like, well, we're done. That's it. But if you sign Ohtani, you could do
anything
nothing
else,
and
yeah.
I would still consider it a successful offseason and be thrilled about it. So
I was just messing around, obviously.
But please don't make Nick Madrigal your opening day starter at third. Please.
That's obviously not going to happen. The Cubs, I like the vibe of the Cubs right now. I did tell my buddy, though, it seems like they're aiming very high from what I can gather. This isn't going to happen because they're different sports. They're different ways you can go about it. But I was like, could it go the John Gross route for the Cubs where they go after so many big fish and don't get them? And then maybe they neglect or regret not going after maybe some other guys. The Cardinals are going attainable. They went super way too attainable, in my opinion, with Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. I don't think that's going to happen to the Cubs. It, again, is maybe just my recruiting background going into my mind there. But do you worry at all if you spend too much time chasing Ohtani, chasing guys that will be tough to get, that then what's left, I guess?
I do. The thought has crossed my mind for sure because – there's been so many rumors coming out about how the Cubs are going to be so aggressive in the Ohtani sweepstakes. And no matter how many rumors get floated out there, I'm still just so skeptical that the Cubs are going to give him $600 million. I'm still so skeptical that he's going to leave the West Coast when the Dodgers are absolutely going to be in that bidding war with whoever's in it. I just don't – if you ask me today, I still find it highly unlikely that Ohtani becomes a Cub. And then if you don't get him, well, then Bellinger's still there, and that's a guy that the early rumors have been that the Yankees are going to be really aggressive for him and that the Cubs are skeptical about if they want to give him $200 million or whatever. And then, you know, the rest of the free agent market in terms of offensive options are pretty dry. I know Juan Soto rumors have gone around, but then you got teams like the Yankees interested in him and whatever, like, there's a scenario that's played out that I'm nervous about. Like, what happens if you do strike out on some of these big fish? I mean, you need to – yeah, Cubs won 83 games last year, but you missed the playoffs. The offense was up and down. You need pitching help. You're losing one of your top starting pitchers. Like, it becomes a dire situation where I get very nervous that are you actually going to improve? There's been all this talk and all this rumors about how it's time and here's this window now and we're going to be really aggressive, but – there's not infinite top names out there for you to go get. So if it's not Ohtani, if it's not Soto, if Bellinger walks, like, what are you doing then? And I think that's a scenario that I've worried about in my head.
Will be fascinating. I appreciate the Cubs' aggressiveness to go out and get, obviously, Craig Counsell and to be voicing that they want to be in the sweepstakes. A franchise has been criticized for not spending enough money here of late. If you're putting out there that you want to make a real run at Ohtani, obviously you have the resources and are willing to go out there and do that. I don't know, are the Cardinals even going to be in it for Yamamoto, or are they just going to take a backseat now to some of these bigger fish, you know, type of pursuits? But the trade window, not that you're going to get, you know, Tyler Glasnow for Tommy Edman or anything, but like there's some overlap and repetitiveness within the Cardinals offense. Like, Edmund and Donovan, or how does Gorman fit into there? Like, I think the Cardinals can package some of this offensive weaponry to try to get some pitching. I mean, we've heard about that since the middle of the summer. So I still pray to God that they're going to go out there and get another higher end starter to really make this a front end of the rotation that's worth getting excited about. Because right now, Sonny Gray, great. I'm happy. Beyond that, I don't think it's good enough. There you have it on the baseball front. Should we catch a break or should we do basketball?
I think we need one more break.
All right, one more break. Then we'll come back. I promise we'll talk some basketball before we get out of here. If you had a question, thought on Illinois basketball as they gear up for Big Ten play, hit us up, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Alumni Link text line. This is The Drive.
Have you ever wondered why you pay your bank to have a checking account with them? We do too. At Fisher National Bank, we offer free checking accounts that reward you to bank with us. Our Rewards Cash Back Checking offers 2.02% cash back on debit card purchases up to $500 monthly. No service fees or balance requirements needed to earn rewards. For a free checking account that pays you back, simply make 12 debit card purchases, receive electronic statements, and have one direct deposit within a monthly cycle. It's so simple. We bet you're doing most of these things already. With Rewards Cash Back Checking, you have access to Reward Saver, which earns 4.07 annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000. Reward yourself with free Rewards Cash Back Checking and Reward Saver, a few of the many ways Fisher National Bank invests in our customers. See monthly requirements at any branch or fishernational.com. Fisher National Bank. Exceptional communities, exceptional people. Member FDIC.
Don't miss your chance to cheer on Fighting Illini basketball this season.
Deafening in here, 15,000, another shutout.
We need all of Illini Nation to help us defend State Farm Center.
And Illinois overcomes their largest deficit of the season.
Great seat locations are still available for you to see Illinois basketball live this season.
The Illini win it!
Get your tickets today at FightingIllini.com.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us to explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
Check off your shopping list with Cardinals Baseball. 5 and 10 game packs are on sale now and feature 2024's highest demand games and promotional giveaways. Choose from the opening day pack, bobblehead pack, Cubs pack, and more. New for 2024, check out the 10 game for the Lou pack, which includes lots of new STL themed promos. Give the gift that lasts all season, all baseball season. Cardinals ticket packs start at just $55 and are on sale now at cardinals.com/holiday.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Elevate your exfoliation game with Merle Norman. Say goodbye to dry, patchy, rough skin with the Advanced Exfoliating Charcoal Scrub. It's packed with detoxifying charcoal and mineral-rich volcanic sand for fun, gritty, at-home, microdermabrasion-style facial treatment that results in an instantly polished, more visibly radiant complexion. Get instantly nitty-gritty pretty skin with Merle Norman's Exfoliating Charcoal Scrub. Available now at Merle Norman.
Radio.
Hey, let me tell you about Busey. Busey is proud to give back to its communities by doing the right thing for customers and building trusted relationships that span generations in 21 and 2022. Busey Associates generally gave over 20,000 hours of their time to hundreds of community organizations. Nearly 200 associates actively commit to board service in their communities as well. Busey Associates have also raised more than $450,000 through the Pay It Forward Fridays payroll deduction initiative since its inception in 2015, and they raised more than $100,000 in 2022 alone. For more information about Busey's volunteer initiatives and charitable campaigns, check out Busey's 2022 Impact Report. To learn more and read the full report in full, visit busey.com/impact. Also, if you want to schedule a chance to go into one of their convenient locations, you also do that online as well, busey.com. Busey, member FDIC. Back on the drive at Sandpiper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's talk some hoops, Kyle. Illinois, Western Illinois. Who said that a win over Western Illinois wouldn't matter? Illinois jumped back into the AP top 25, so clearly they were really impressed by Illinois' 32-point win against the Leathernecks. Illinois coming in at number 24 today. I will say the loss against Marquette, although I kind of got exhausted by this a little bit during the feast week. You see everybody on Twitter, and you're watching a bunch of hoops, which is always fantastic, and the Maui delivered this week. I thought it was high-level basketball, a lot of great matchups. When Marquette, who looks legit, I love their team. I think they could win it all. When they're playing well, and some people out there are saying, well, that means that's a great loss for Illinois, there's no such thing.
I couldn't agree more.
There's no such thing as a great loss for Illinois, not at this stage where you are in a program, not when you're at home, you feel like you can beat anybody. Look, it's not a bad loss. It's not a loss that hurts you. It's just don't take it that far. So I also feel like the AP poll, it feels outdated. It doesn't carry a ton of weight in terms of the tournament committee. You're asking people who are beat reporters across the country, or so knowing, you know, being one myself, not an AP voter, but a beat reporter, it can be tough to have a full gauge of what's happening elsewhere. So that's just kind of my soapbox as far as that goes. Let's talk about what happened on Friday when Illinois wins 84-52. Quincy Guerrier, I wrote a story about him today on Illini Inquirer, shameless plug. But 10 points, 15 boards. He's got two double-doubles already this season. He only had two in 2 years at Oregon, so they're getting him back to his rebounding ways that really stood out when he was at Syracuse. That's good to see. Dane Danger played well, 16 points, eight boards. Yes, you're doing it against a Western Illinois squad that's not very good, but they were thought to be a good rebounding team. They graded out well in terms of that category coming in. So winning the interior battle with Quincy and Dane was good. Shannon goes off for six threes. It was a nice and easy cruise to victory type of win and some good individual performances as well. What'd you take of that one?
Yeah, it felt like their most complete performance of all the bye games so far, where there wasn't really any point where it's like, oh, here we go again. It's a tight game 15 minutes in or what. They were in full control. They got off to a fast start. We're in full control the whole way. And that's what you really wanted to see and you didn't see in a lot of those other games. Not to say that, you know, there's huge cause for concern at beating Valpo or whatever of these other games, but it just felt like a complete performance and shots were going in. Looked pretty good on the defensive end. Shannon gives you six threes, had one of those nights shooting it. Dane has probably his best performance of the season, dominates a team that he should dominate inside, and Guerrier, the way he played. There's nothing, no major takeaway, but it does feel a little bit like you're starting to get this group playing a little bit more cohesively, and there's a little bit more chemistry being built here. Coming off, obviously, the Marquette game and some of these other slow starts and games where they've struggled. There wasn't really a whole lot of struggle at any point in that Western game, so was pretty encouraged by that. But now I'm very excited to see a stretch of some real matchups and really gauge. We know that this team competed with Marquette. I agree with you that I hate the narrative that it's like, oh, look at this. Look how good Marquette is. So that loss was totally fine. you're welcoming in Marquette at home for a program that everyone talks about how they need to get to the second weekend of the tournament. Now, the last 5 years haven't been good enough or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You beat Marquette at home, or you don't score 2 points in the final 8 minutes or whatever it was in that game. I'm not – Marquette's good. I totally agree with what you said there, but now we get another chance to see if they've improved and changed some things as we – take on Rutgers, Florida Atlantic, and Tennessee here in the next week.
Yeah, and I'm really excited this week to break that all down as we go forward. I know we're going to wrap up here soon, but before we move on from Western real quick, Ty Rogers, I thought, played pretty well. 9 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. He seemed to be on the ball a little bit more in terms of playmaking in that game. Nico Moretti still out, still in a boot, was on crutches the last game. I don't see him coming back anytime soon. I think he'll be out at least, if I were to guess right now, probably at least till January, if I were to say that. Brad Underwood's been pretty hush-hush about the extent of that injury, but I think he's going to be out for a handful of weeks going forward, as far as I can tell.
Can I ask two questions about Illinois real quick? Marcus Damask, how concerned are you that he's struggled here the last couple of days?
He's played really bad post-Marquette.
It feels like the one big game he showed up and played really well. So it's not a situation where it's like, oh, is the adjustment to high major basketball hurting him because he played great against Marquette? But it feels like in almost all of the low major games, he struggled. It doesn't make sense.
Surprise, Marcus Damask is Matthew Meyer. He only gets up for the big ones. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm not too worried. I think he's going to make shots. Like, he's missed from three, shot a bad percentage from three so far, especially when you combine him and Quincy as transfers that were supposed to come in and at least elevate your floor as a three-point shooting team. They have not been able to do that. But Marcus, for whatever reasons, had sloppy turnovers. Brad's got on him for not making some effort plays, which that surprised me most, I think, in terms of kind of the way he's looked. It's just that he hasn't had a lot of energy, and sometimes just, you know, when he's playing his best, seems like someone that's, you know, jumping out of bounds to save a loose ball, just kind of is everywhere. I don't know what's been going on in that sense. Maybe it's just a couple of bad games, but you're going to need a lot more from him as you go on this road trip where you're not going to play at home until, you know what, December 11th or something like that. But tougher competition coming up, and Marcus, you need more from him.
Question two, Coleman Hawkins, do you expect that he will be back for this game on Saturday, and what do you need to see from him? How do you think he fits back in now as we've seen Dane and Amani get some more run here with him out?
I do expect to see him against Rutgers. I take that mostly from Brad saying, hey, it was my decision to hold him out. Coleman wanted to keep playing. I have heard, you know, recently that it seems like Coleman's responded well to getting that time off, and that his treatment on his knee has definitely helped him some. So it seems like that's kind of what is the plan, to find a soft spot in the schedule, get him rested up, try to alleviate that as much as possible before the schedule ramps up again. And what you need from him is a lot more than you saw in the first three games, a lot more steadiness, a lot more, you know, is he going to make shots coming off of, you know, being out? I don't know, but I think – what I can expect is defensive engagement, a guy that doesn't let some offensive rough spots translate into him losing his focus on the defensive end. Don't turn into Andre Curbelo and complain at the ref after every call or no call. Like, I just want to see him. Like, he's supposed to be one of your leaders. He's supposed to be one of the guys you rely on with your team. You got to be more steady. You can't be unreliable and expect the team to be reliable, I feel like, if Coleman is one of your main guys. And that's that. Thank you to Jay Layman, as always. Great first hour talking football with him. We'll have him. I was happy to learn that. I didn't know. Throughout the rest of the football season, talk about bowl games and also some big picture stuff with Illinois that we can break down. Also,